on Q Tango Mobile.
Check Cess Mobile.
I heard you on the air yesterday as you were wandering around. You out doing a service call today, or you just out goofing off?
Well, I figured while everybody else is running to the gas stations, I'll go loot the stores that are empty, you know. No, I'm just out doing a little bit of quick shopping and heading back to the house.
Yeah, well, I've got to run up to my Publix and pick up a couple of items and then head back to the house. And along the way, I'm going to see if I can't put about $15 worth of gas in the car if the two stations over there, either of the stations over where I'm going to be, have any gas.
Up yesterday morning up in Lyman, I hit that QT up there, and I'm good. I got pretty much a full tank, and I got a couple of 5-gallon cans full at the house left over from the hurricanes there a couple months ago, so I'm in good shape. I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, I heard you say that. Well, I had a full tank starting last Friday, yeah, and but I had to make two trips to Greenville and back on Saturday and Sunday, so you know, I'm down to about a half tank. It's not too bad on this, but, you know, it just be nice to have a little bit more, you know?
Oh, I get you. Well, you know, if there's gas, there's gas. If there isn't, I don't go anywhere, that's all.
The size of me, if I hadn't forgotten a couple of items at the grocery store that I discovered I needed, I would be making this trip anyway, so, you know, it is what it is.
I'm just, like I say, I'm just doing a little bit of quick shopping. I'm heading over to the country store here on, out on 290, to re-up my butter and eggs and then, head back to the house.
Hey, but I'm going to be on 290 over here and, on the Reaper Road side of Duncan, so on the other side of Interstate 85. But that's where the Publix is that I go, is over on 290 at Reedville Road. And I've got a place back there I fall into a little hole, and I don't know why. Sometimes I can get in and out of it without a problem. Other days, I can't get in and out, and I don't know what's going on. And I do need to get me a new antenna to go on this vehicle. This one has been beat up over the years.
Yeah, same thing here. I'm going to probably order a new diamond, just a diamond dual bander. I had the old NR770 years ago, and it worked really well, and I got this cheapy antenna up here, and it's just every once in a while, just it gets real noisy on me. I don't know why. I tap on the antenna, and it goes away.
I've got a mag mount. It's on the roof, and you know, and I had some water to get in between the where the antenna screws down onto where the connector is one time. Got it all dried out, and it worked for a while. I don't know how, if water is getting down in there, I'm not sure how, but heck, I just need to get me a new antenna. I've been running this one at least 10 years, and I go under trees and things, and it's tall enough that it gets beat around a bit.
Yeah, it's the same thing here. The antenna gets knocked a little bit here and there. And it is a fold-over design, but it's just, you know, I'm not really crazy about the fold-over designs because sometimes the connections on that little fold-over area there are not very good.
There's a car-mounted, frame-mounted antenna or a truck-mounted or something like that?
Oh, no, it's up on a mag mount. I have it up on a mag mount on the top of my vehicle. It's a Dodge Durango. I don't really want to drill a hole in it.
I mean, you know, I'm not very thrilled about it. I know a guy that every time he's bought a new car, he's drilled a hole for his antenna. Always has, says he always has and always will. And, you know, when he takes the antenna off, he puts him a rubber seal over that. And he says he's never had any trouble selling his car, trading his cars in. So, I don't know. I'll have to decide depending upon what I get for my next car, and I'm going to be looking for one this summer. I'm going to need to. This one has got about 180,000 miles on it. It's a little four-cylinder, and it's a 2011, so last year they made these things. So it's pretty much, it's 10 years old now, so it's pretty much been used up, you know?
Oh, yeah, I got, mine's coming up on 77,000 miles on this one. It's a 2015, so, I mean, it's running real good, but I really don't want to give it up just yet. I can't afford to at the moment.
So, well, I need for something a little bit more room, because this is a little bitty Chevrolet HHR, and it's small. And if I need to haul some lumber, or I need to put a few bags of sacrete or something in here, or a few bags of mulch or something, it weighs down this little car. And so it's not made for that, really. And like I said, the first 3 years this car was out from 2000, it was bought late 2010, early 2011 model, but the lady that drove it, she worked for one of the companies, that one of the pharmaceutical companies, and she put the first 90,000 miles on it in 3 years, in driving North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, part of Florida, some part of Tennessee, on her route that she covered.
Holy cow, 90,000 miles. Holy mackerel. Whew. Wow. Yeah, that's quite a bit of mileage.
Yep, she did it in 3 years, too. That's, you know, 30,000 miles a year. That's a lot of mileage. And but it is what it is. And it's like I said, I've been driving it since 2013 when I picked it up the end of that year. So it's, you know, I took it all. The guy that got it from me bought it from, got it from the lease, and I bought it from him. The dealer found it for me, and so no, but it's made multiple trips to Michigan and back, multiple trips to Florida and back. So I'm not, you know, I'm not surprised. And I'll get over here to this Circle K here a minute and see if they've got any fuel. I can't tell whether they've got any or not. Price has gone up to $273.9. For regular unleaded, for if you pay cash, I guess that's my debit card, and same price for diesel, it looks like. Oh well, it is what it is, and but that's the way it goes. And across the street at the 7-Eleven, they're getting $269 for theirs. I guess it's a case of how much gas you've got. Now let me pull in here and see if they've got any. Catch you later. Have a good one. KB2HX, WS-W2T, 73s for now.
All righty. Well, you good luck there. They're not supposed to raise the gas prices when you're in a state of emergency. I don't know if they've declared that or not. But, man, if they're price gouging, boy, are people going to be mad. Have a good day. W2T, KB2HXS. See you later.
KB2RCL Mobile.
KO4 HKX here.
Patrick, how you doing today on the wet Wednesday?
Cold. How about you?
Getting a little cold here. Trying to make a run to the dump today. Make do with the time off for the rain, and try to get as much done around the house as I can, and then go back at it Thursday.
What'd you got now?
On that job over there at Inman. I still got a ways to go to finish it. Working on finishing up the exterior stuff, and then we'll start doing flooring and finishing in there, doing all the trim on the interior.
Complete room addition to that place?
See, they had a pole building put up, and I come in and built the floor and added the deck and do everything to it.
Didn't know you were taking on something that big.
KQRCL for ID. Yep, my plan goes is I got it planned. I'll finish this project up before the heat of the summer hits, and I'll be done for the year.
Why don't you?
Done with the construction stuff, then I'll spend time in the house and air condition, focusing on online stuff, trying to get the revenue generated and going up off of it.
That way you don't have to do any more of the outside stuff.
Exactly. Although, when I get done with the construction and I'm at home, I'm sure my wife is going to have a honey-do list that I have not gotten accomplished in the last few months, that I'll need to get caught up. And I don't know, we're going to wait to see what happens with the whole gas thing and where the gas prices go, but we'd like to get the RE out and take off and do a little traveling.
I'm hoping this gas fiasco doesn't last too long. But if people keep going the way they are, ain't no telling.
I went and filled up my 100-gallon tank and 255-gallon drums, and I got a trash can full now, so I should be good.
Roger that. It's amazing what people are filling up, that's for sure.
Pictures on Facebook of everything from water totes to those tough-neck trash cans from Lowe's, filling them up, putting a lid on them, and driving home with them in the bed of the pickup truck. Hope they don't smoke. Better not throw a cigarette out.
Anybody else around them?
It's all good. You know how it goes. If they take the warning label off of the products, well, a lot of problems it solves themselves.
Yes, it would. It'd be amazing what would happen.
How's things going? You getting that truck stuff straightened out, or are you still trying to tread through the muddy water with it?
Right now, still tromping through the muddy water with them. Been waiting on the check for a week and a half, or almost, I guess, 2 weeks now. They said it would take 5 to 7 days to get to the lease company. Hadn't showed up yet. But can't get an answer where it's at either.
That stinks. Did you get that other check situation straightened out?
No, sir. It's still laying at the house on the desk, and I'm not cashing it until this one's taken care of.
Jeez Louise, man. This has been nothing but a nightmare. I hate it for you. I wish they'd just get on the stick and get it done so you could get back to life as normal.
Now, me too. It's going to take a while to get back anywhere close to what I was doing. This has hurt my business so bad.
Well, that just stinks. I mean, businesses are having a hard enough time with everything that's going on, not being able to find help. And stuff as far as that goes, life is telling me she's seen where a couple of small restaurants and stuff are closing because they can't find any staff. But I guess Governor McMaster is going to cut off that unemployment and people are going to be scrambling for jobs. I think somebody posted on Facebook the other day that they got word that there's going to be a shortage on jobs. Everybody should run out and get one right now before they're all gone.
I've seen that post. But it's funny how the president says nobody's staying at home because they're getting unemployment. They're not doing that. They're not refusing a job. Yeah, they are. They're just not showing up for them. I've talked to 3 people today that have hired people, and the people haven't showed up.
Surprise me. I just don't think they make them or raise them like they used to. That was one of the things about our generation, I think, coming up, the generation before ours. It was instilled to, if you gave your word was your bond, and you did what you said you was going to do, and if you said you was going to do a job, you go and you do it, and at the end of the day, if you didn't like it, well, you done it anyway because you gave your word.
And your word was all you had. I mean, that's it. If it's no good, you got nothing.
Yeah, I try to stick to mine. My wife gets on me sometimes and says I take on too much, but I always try to help people out. And that's what I've done for years and years through the emergency services, but I guess there's going to come a point where I got to sit down and really take inventory and evaluate on how much I'm going to do and how much time I'm going to spend at home and things like that. But still, at the end of the day, I mean, I got some projects that I got going that I got to get done, and I got to finish them because that's what I said I'd do.
You there. I've been over backwards helping a lot of people with their vehicles for many years, and then whenever I needed some help, they were nowhere to be found. So I've had to take stock in that a lot lately, too, myself. And it's hard to say no when you're used to trying to help people all the time, and that's what you're used to, and that's what you want to do. But I don't know. I've had to do some of that lately.
KB2H access.
In there.
Okay, I will. I just left the country, so I'm heading back to the house. So, everybody all gassed up?
W2T Mobile. Keep going now. Everybody jumping in. Come on.
Well, $20 worth. That filled my tank up, so that was enough. I'll be happy for a while. Now, I just thought I'd holler back in here. I got a minute as I'm going from the 7-Eleven across the street to the Publix. And I'll Went to a Circle K, and they didn't have any gas. They had diesel, but no gas.
A lot of that is I'm riding around today, KO4 HKX.
My needle is just off of E, so I'm good to go for a couple days, at least.
RCL, yeah, I stopped day before yesterday and got fuel. I'm pretty good for right now. I know there's a couple of gas cans down in the shop that's got fuel in it for the lawnmowers. Hate to burn the non-ethanol in the car, but if I have to, well, you know, that's just what we'll do.
Luxury. I got a little bit of gas in the can at the house, but not much. But I've got a full tank, and this little four-cylinder will do for a while. All right. Well, I've reached the grocery store now. I'm going to go from one cold, wet place in through the rain to get in a place where it might be dry. And so catch you all in a little bit. W2T, clear.
It was good talking with you. Good luck in the grocery store there. Hopefully, and I am fixing to hop out of the truck here and drop some stuff off here at the transfer station, so I'll be back home momentarily. K2RCL, clear my own for the moment.
Here for a moment, run in the store and grab me something cold to drink, KO4HKX, and I'll be back in a few minutes.
Jumping ship. I'm going to be here for another 5 seconds, and I'll be gone.
Trying to run everybody off.
Me neither. I don't want to run nobody off. Goodness. Am I here or no?
Or NUE. Yes, sir. I'm here.
Oh, greetings. Did I talk to you the other night?
Sure. Name is Chad out of Campobello, and I'm stationed at my second location in Liberty, right on the 12-mile river.
Yes, I did. Saturday evening. Yes, I did. KB2HXS here. Dave.
Hey, Dave. Where you at today?
Well, just taking a few hours to myself here. I'm actually down on 290 here in Greer. Just left a little country store. I guess it's west of the Ingalls. Now I'm just heading back to the house. I did a compressor change out yesterday up in Spartanburg. Actually, Roebuck. Made them folks real happy, so saved them a bunch of money. And like I said, just taking a day to myself here. And thankfully so, because the rain would just kill whatever I had to do.
Nobody likes working in the rain, especially when, you know, you got to be around outside units and all that kind of stuff. You just knees get wet and just enough chill in the air to make it kind of worth it, but really you can do without. I know how that is, man. But so I came up to I got a cabin up here in Liberty, and I built me a patch panel to so when I upgrade my license, I can patch my antenna over to HF or 2 meter or shortwave listening and things like that. So I'm up here testing it out and making sure my antenna hasn't been struck by lightning or anything.
They do make, I believe they make a piece where you can actually ground. If it does get struck by lightning, it's designed to ground it out, but I don't know how foolproof they are. But usually when there's a lightning storm, I'll disconnect my radio and put an alligator clip on it to ground it.
RCU. RCF, this is KO4NUE.
Hang on now, headed back to the house. Polyphaser is what you're looking for. I just put one in when I put my base antenna up. You can buy them off of eBay a little bit cheaper than you can get them if you order them offline. But you're looking for a polyphaser, and you ground it to the same ground circuit as the house, and you ground the tower to that same ground rod to complete the circuit. It will prevent minimal charges from lightning strikes, but if you get a direct hit on the antenna, it's pretty much going to kill it all.
That's what me and the other called Dave. I'm sorry, sir. I'm bad at names, but we were talking about, and I just unplugged the antenna and just, you get my radio off.
That's the way to do it, you know. I mean, that's a foolproof way. Get the antenna, get the radio out of the circuit. You know, antenna's a whole heck of a lot cheaper than the radio, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Well, I just, like I said, I decided to come up here this morning. I don't leave my radio here. I just bring it with me when I come up here to deer camp. And I just, you know, try to keep things tested and make sure everything's working, because I do come up here and report the water level condition on the Warrens Network to off the 12 Mile River from time to time. So I just need to make sure everything's working.
I pick it up.
In a little bit, zigzagging my way through traffic here.
I'll be destinated to the house here in about, as soon as I go through this red light, or when it turns green, rather, I'll be home.
Hey, either of you guys give me any information about what's going on with the fuel situation? Is it any better than it was yesterday?
I don't. Let me see if I have this. I really don't know if it's any better or worse. I haven't heard anything on the radio or anything on the broadcast radio. I got a full tank. I actually gassed up yesterday morning, not knowing what was going on. I was able to get gas at one of the QTs here in town, but other than that, I haven't really heard anything.
What I've seen is because of we're having a shortage because everybody's running out and stocking up on fuel, even though they don't need to. But the pipeline said that they'll be back to 100% operation by this weekend. And then on top of that, there's another pipeline that follows the same route that one does. And the fuel supply yards around here are fully stocked. So I really don't understand why there's a shortage, other than the fact that people panicked and went out and just bought it all. So it's just a matter of the fuel trucks getting back out and filling the stations back up now.
Whiskey Uniform 2 Tango Mobile again.
KO4NUE. So here's kind of what yesterday, evidently, I did a lot of reading on this, and there's the Colonial Pipeline was hacked with some ransomware, and I'm assuming that it's locked down their PLCs and computer controls for all of the gas line. From what I'm hearing, it's a 15 to 19 day lag to take up the shortage that has been created in the past week trying to get this ransomware straightened out. And the Department of Transportation is allowing other states to truck fuel in to fill some of the stations in the southeast to take up for that until they get things back online.
KB2HXS, continue on, 73.
73 to you, sir.
A bit later.
Threes, we enjoy talking with you.
I came down to the base station, the ham shack, this morning, and they had a small little net going on, I don't know, early this morning. Just an informal net. With hams calling in saying, hey, there's fuel at this station, there's gasoline here, there's no diesel here, and just a few spot reports or something like that, you know. But yesterday I was not able to get diesel fuel at all, and I went to four different locations in the Campobello-Spartanburg area, and it didn't look well, but this morning I was able to get some to get down to my location in Liberty.
I'll tell you what, I went to a Circle K over here at 290 and Reedville Road. They have no gas, but they've got plenty of diesel. And I went across the street at the Craddy Corner, across the corner, and the 7-Eleven had plenty of gas. Their pumps were full, and they were not restricting anybody on pump gas. You know, you pay your money and pump it till you're full. And I, of course, with $20, I figured that was going to be enough to get my tank
filled, and it gave me almost seven and a half gallons, and that's more than enough to fill this little small tank on this car. So, getting along fine. WU2T, and by the way, the name here is Rusty, and I think somebody in there is, I heard a couple of names a while ago. Over.
It's Chad, out of right now Liberty, South Carolina, and I think there may be two other calls in there, and don't mean any disrespect, but just can't remember the calls.
Well, good. I have trouble remembering call signs too. This is K2RCL. I'm Russell. I'm based out of Taylor's is the address calls it, but more or less the Tigerville area up in northern Ramo County. And gentlemen, I am about to destinate here at the house, so I am going to hop off from here. I'd like to say 73 to everybody on here, and enjoy talking with you, and I'll be clear.
Chad, KL4NUE. Sir, you have a wonderful day, and 73's to you.
So we'll catch you another time. You and I have talked before. Anyway, and I'm headed back to the house. We got to get a couple of items when I went to the grocery store on Monday, and I figured I better get them today. I need one of them to cook with later.
Whereabouts you at now?
Oh, I'm over on Reedville Road. My address is Moore, but I live kind of halfway between Moore and Roebuck over on the old Georgia Road over here. And so, you know, I'm just, I'm like 15 minutes away from the grocery store when I leave it, and hit a couple of back roads, and I'm home. And that's what's going on here. Looks like AT&T's up here working on one of their boxes today.
OLK.
KO4LOK.
Stephen and Greer, I've been listening to your conversation about the fuel availability. I'd be interested about price.
This morning, when I was able to get diesel at the Sphinx at the corner of Highway 11 and 14, it was $2.80 a gallon for diesel. I think that's probably about 30, 40 cents higher than what I've normally been paying.
Well, over here at the Circle K, the diesel was $2.79. And across the street at the 7-Eleven, I didn't look to see what their diesel price was. I know they've got it, but their regular gas was $2.69.9 for regular. So, you know, about 10 cents more than it has been for about the last week. Over.
They haven't jumped them up much. I was worrying about them spiking the gas prices and gouging people.
Yesterday, I've got a small fuel pod there on the farm in Campobello, and was wanting to do some bush hogging, so I decided I'd go grab a fuel pot and go grab some fuel and get it filled up. And no, that wasn't happening yesterday. That absolutely wasn't happening.
You talking about that yesterday? I heard Chad and I heard somebody else talking about different things too yesterday, and some people were finding it. Some, the thing about it was, I left Duncan, downtown Duncan, Monday night where I rehearsed at the Duncan Methodist Church here, and there was a little gas station down the street from it, a convenience store, and his gas prices said 0.00, and I don't know what was going on there, but there were a bunch of people in his partially blocking Main Street Duncan there, and his parking lot, his pumps were both sets of pumps were full.
I talked with Patrick up in Columbus, up in North Carolina. I'm not sure he's in Columbus. No, this was yesterday afternoon. And they, at one of the gas stations in Ingalls, up toward in that direction, they actually called a couple of deputies out to keep the lines from lining up out into traffic. And he also reported that a couple of the lines had extended out into the highway near Transylvania County Hospital, and some of the ambulances were having difficulty getting in because of the fuel lines. The people waiting in line. line for fuel. So, you know, I mean, I don't think it's all that bad, I guess. It's just an inconvenience right now.
Tell you what, it's not anything like it was in the 70s. I lived and worked through that, and odd days you could get gas, even days you couldn't get gas, depending upon what your license plate was and all. And I got creamed by a car that jumped out of one of those lines one day and just about wiped me out. And, yeah, I heard Patrick talking about that yesterday. He also talked about one place where they had to get the cops there to be able to get the gas delivery truck in to deliver gas to the pump. So, oh, well, it is what it is. Well, I'm about home, guys. Have a good rest of the day. Stay dry, stay warm. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back in the house and stay there. Well, I do got to leave later to go to choir rehearsal, but that's 5 minutes from house to church and then 5 minutes back after I'm done. Catch you all later. 7-3's Whiskey Uniform 2 Tango Clear.
GR.
Sir, this is KO4 NUE stationed out of Liberty. You have a wonderful day.
NGOTR.
KO4 NUE up in Liberty. Chad, how are you today, sir?
Well, I'm better than when I talked to you this morning, Chad, and good day to you, Rusty. We did get gas at the Quick Trip this morning in front of the airport, so that was good. Boy, it's cold and blustery out there now, showing 15-mile-an-hour winds out of the northeast.
Thing. I'm pulling in the yard and it says 47 degrees on my on the car thermometer. So it's cold and wet and yucky, and I was standing out in it pumping gas. And I got enough to fill my tank. So catch you later, Tom. I'll turn on the radio in the house when I get inside. W2T, clear again.
Okay, Rusty. Good to hear you. Yeah, we felt lucky because all the gas stations yesterday evening from my daughter's 14 miles south all the way back up here, they were swamped, and there was a tanker truck in the Spink station at Buncombe and White Hampton, and that station was absolutely swamped. QT was swamped at 14 in Buncombe. It's crazy out there. And they said, due to the fact of hoarding, this may last up to 2 weeks, Chet.
You're exactly right. That's what I'm listening to on as far as what I'm reading on the internet, and I try to get, you know, four or five different sites to make sure, you know, I'm getting the same kind of information. So the way I understand this is basically there is a ransomware hackers called Dark Matter or Dark Water or something that's based out of the Ukraine, and they have taken over the computers and the PLCs at Colonial Pipelines in Texas and holding the software for ransom. And the way this organization works is they claim to be kind of like a Robin Hood. They hack computer systems and take money from only profit organizations. They stay away from organizations that help mankind but make money. And then they also take a portion of that they're able to hack or ransom money and give it to certain charities. And I'm not really understanding why all that is happening, but that's the way I understand it. This is KO4NUE.
I got a bridge in Greer I want to sell you. KN4VWA, if you believe that stuff.
Yeah, you're right about that, Steve. Putin doesn't stop these organizations because he knows what they're doing and it benefits him. And so it can't be directed back directly to the Russian government, so he thinks. But he's lower than whale dung, and that's at the bottom of the sea, Chad. And like Steve says, you don't want to trust that stuff. This is in their OTR.
Here's what I think is It wasn't 4 or 5 days ago. Our administration was discussing, okay, we're going to do everything we can to get on renewable energy and renewable power. And then, lo and behold, here we go. 4 or 5 days later, now we, you know, now we got some kind of fuel crisis in the southeast. So, you know, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm just telling you what I read. I'm not sure if all that's correct, but I'm not really a conspiracy guy either, but it's kind of interesting that, you know, the last 4 or 5 days what's happened.
KO4 BYU, sounds like you hit the nail on the head.
The thing kind of interesting, too, is when our government says, hey, don't panic, there's no reason to panic and no reason to send gas cans to the gas store to get extra fuel. Man, that's just more reason to do it for some people, I guess. And that's just, maybe they just don't need to say anything. I don't know.
KO4BYU in 0TR. Well, that shows you communism don't work. Not being biased, of course.
KO4OLK. Big difference between the 70s and nowadays is people panic now at the drop of a hat, which exasperates the situation. And personally for me, I wouldn't trust the government any further than I can hear him speak.
You know, there's more stuff out there, more disinformation, more baloney than you can shake a stick at. One of the silly conspiracy theories that I heard was is that Colonial Pipelines is using this dark bunch as an excuse, and that they're sending Biden a message to get off his Green Deal bullcrap.
Do you think that's going to happen, Steve? It's going to be raining cats and dogs instead of water. I don't know, but we were on the right track, and now we're not, and that's the bottom line. Go ahead, Chet.
Now, Tom, I gotta be honest with you, man. I am a very politically motivated person, and I totally agree with what you're saying. And I know that I'm relatively new ham, and it's all I can do to keep my mouth shut right now. But I'll just leave it at that, but I do think we were definitely on the right track, and just like you said, and now we're not.
Well, sunshine came through today on that political front. Did y'all hear about it?
Yeah, but actually, Steve, I don't think we should go too political on the repeater. We're going to get in trouble. Everybody's got different opinions, and I think you know where I stand. Oh, shucks. What are you up to today, Steve?
Well, I just had lunch with a boy I went to high school with, one of my other guys, and that's after, I'm going to use the word, working this morning. Made a little bit of money so I can keep my toys afloat. And I'm headed back to the house now so I can work in my man cave.
What take it?
Here, Tom. Steve, you, if I remember right, you're the one over there close to me in Campobello. Is that correct?
Roger.
Just wanted to make sure. You asked me the other day if I had a portable. What are you wanting to weld on?
Tom, you remember KN4UBG, don't you? Kevin?
I do.
Talk to KN4UBG about welding this plate, and apparently, you know, I hadn't heard from him, and I mentioned that getting it welded to you, and he chimed in and said he's trying to get his welder running. So, anyhow, if he doesn't come on with something in about the next week, I'm going to be in touch with you to get that thing welded. And what it
I need to put about a 5 or 6 inch tall by about 4 inch wide ear of 5/8 inch plate steel on, stand it up vertically and weld it onto another piece of 5/8 inch flat plate.
Is this for, is this 5/8 of an inch, is this antenna structure, is this load bearing, what kind of forces are we talking about here?
Well, let me describe it to you. I've got a 50-foot tower, and it is a freestanding tower. And as you get to know me, you're going to know that Big Daddy here ain't going to get more than 10 feet off the ground, period. So, with that said, I wanted to make my tower a tiltover. What I did was I welded rebar about 30 inches long onto the bottom of a 3 foot by 3 foot square 5/8 inch thick plate and concreted it into the ground with 4 foot by 4 foot by 4 foot deep concrete plug to stabilize everything. Well, I used another 5/8 inch plate, approximately the same size, and I welded ears on both of the plates, and then I mounted the tower base to the other plate so it would tilt over. And it works great.
So you're basically using a fulcrum, that kind of deal, say 4 or 5 foot off the ground, and then maybe weights on one end or some type of pulley mechanism to pull from a fulcrum point.
See my little setup, because it works beautifully. I have a piece of I-beam sticking up out of the ground by about 7 feet, and I have a 3,500 pound rated winch on the top of that.
I got you. Yeah, I'll get back that way. I'll give you a holler, or just stay up on Cedar's Head. Well, you go to QRZ and get my email. Just shoot me an email, and I'll be glad to come help you with it. I got two portables actually. One of them's not running right now, but the other one won't be an issue to get it down there. I need to take it and service it anyway. But at any rate, yeah, give me a holler. Shoot me an email. I'll be glad to help you, bud.
Oh, that'd be great. Now listen, what I did was is I drilled a 1-inch hole in two places on the top plate, and on the bottom plate I drilled and tapped the bottom plate so that when the tower is fully upright, I put a big bolt through it. I got two big bolts through it to make sure that the tower doesn't tip over. Well, I'm starting to get just a little bit of corrosion, and what I want to do is just put a pair of dog ears standing straight up so that I can run a round rod pin right straight across the top of that plate as a pin retainer.
I got you. I don't see that being any kind of issue. But like I said, I'm just a couple miles. I'd say probably 2 miles from you.
Close enough. I gotta be careful throwing rocks. you still in there, Tom?
Oh yeah, I'm sitting here watching Gunsmoke, running the computer and listening. No problem.
Dennis Weaver or I can't remember the other guy's real name.
Marshall Dillon. James Ernest. I've seen every one of them. I had the tapes or the DVDs from every one of them, all 200 episodes or so. I just threw them out the other day. But I still watch it at 1 o'clock on Channel 4. 4-2, if I think of it. And we just finished brunch, Steve. We took the daughter back to the airport and had to have her there at 6 for a flight out at 7. We snoozed till 9 when we got home, and then Bernice made a big biscuits and gravy breakfast.
Well, listen, who I was talking about is the guy that plays Festus. What was his name? Dennis Weaver was the first sidekick, and then I'm trying to think of the guy's name that played the second sidekick.
It's in 0TR. Oh, I can't remember Festus. I don't remember movie stars' real names. But Bob was texting me yesterday and from up north there in D7J, and he said, I know who you remind me of now. And he said, Doc. And I said, no, more like Festus. And then there was Newley. He was a gunsmith. And, of course, the lady that owned the bar. And Newley, I had a friend that was a special forces guy, and he was a friend of Newley's, ironically.
Ken Curtis, that's right. I just remembered. Festus's real name was Ken Curtis, and did you know that he was one of the original Sons of the Pioneers?
Had no idea. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I remember the name Ken Curtis. When I hear the names of these movie stars, I know I'm like Miss Kitty in that, but I never had that much interest in them. I guess, Steve, to memorize movie stars very much. I recognize their faces and whatnot, but Gunsmoke's kind of close to home because that was Dodd City.
N4DJC.
Go ahead, Jerry.
If you're talking about Gunsmoke, guys, I know one of the screenwriters for Gunsmoke. He's on a gun forum, but he gets on every once in a while and discusses some of the stuff they did back in the day. And the radio program, Gunsmoke, is even more interesting because William Conrad, the guy that played Cannon, was Matt Dillon in the radio show. And the guy that plays Floyd the Barber on Andy Griffith was played Doc.
Did you guys ever heard of Dub Taylor?
Hey, Dub.
Did you know that that was Newley's daddy?
If the same guy I'm thinking about, now Dub was originally from somewhere down around South Georgia or Alabama, somewhere, I think.
Well, today's garbage knowledge brought to you by Tom.
Clinch, now what are you talking about?
All this silly stuff we know about, like Ken Curtis and Dub Taylor being Newley's daddy and all that. It's knowledge that you just, doesn't do you a bit of good.
Useless trivia.
Well, good morning, Jerry. And, I thought I heard a break. There's no calls. But, it's interesting. This guy I knew out at Superior Wheel Plant was a real loner. He drove a Harley, and he always rode by himself, and he was a friend of Newley's, but he was Army Special Forces during Vietnam and that, and he was a strange fella, Jerry. I told him one day, I said, if you're Special Forces, you can speak Russian. And he started talking to me in Russian. And I told him he had to know a foreign language. And one day he was coming down the aisle in the plant, which was big. It was 15 acres. And I sent him a message on a flashlight in Morse code, and he told me what it was. And that kind of confirmed it with me, Jerry. It's N0TR.
I might be doubling with you, Tom. Hope you guys are doing well today, by the way.
Didn't hear any call sign there a while ago. I heard some static, but I didn't hear a call sign. If there's someone there with a call sign, go ahead. Well, pick it up, Steve.
Well, you still in that chat?
Here, I'm
I'm trying to figure out how Bernice is allowing Tom to talk all this trivia. Normally she keeps that kind of stuff under control, but she must be out of the room today.
No, she's washing some dishes over here behind me, some glasses. Go ahead, Jerry.
Now, how you doing today, Bill?
Here, Bill, either. He's always welcome. And I did his search for static earlier, Jerry.
I heard Bill yesterday afternoon. Maybe I've been early this morning talking to somebody. Maybe I'm getting a little confused in my age, I guess. But, of course, sure is a nasty day today, isn't it? I got a little HF rig I'm going to try out for a few days. Maybe next week I'm gonna do a little QRP stuff and see if I can. I think I'm going to run an NFED out the window up here and see if I can hear anything anyway. So I'm gonna give it a stab, I think.
I got a ham question. I'm the new guy on the block, and I'm at the point to where I'm about ready to give up. So I need some advice, or somebody tell me what to do.
Good questions. One that goes unasked. Pass it over to Steve, and then he can pass it on. Make your question.
I have been trying to do some shortwave listening. Shortwave. So I cut me a piece of wire about 75 feet long, soldered me a PL-259 on the end of it, and I've positioned that sonar gun any direction I can get it stationed, and I can't get anything but static on it. Now I can switch my 2-meter antenna over to the high frequency side just to listen, and I can kind of get 5 or 6 stations, you know, one out of the Congo, one out of Cuba, one that's French speaking. But it just seems like to me I ought to be able to get more off of that 75-foot wire than I am the 2-meter antenna. Somebody tell me kind of what to do or what I'm doing wrong, or am I wasting my time or what?
How high off the ground have you got the 75-foot?
The last time I tried was an inverted V off the side of the shop, and the shop is a completely metal building.
My problem right there. You got to get away from that metal building.
Okay, so I need to get it up in the air and away from the building.
Up in the air, longer, and away from the metal building.
Just put a standard dipole up there and get you a little bowling, and then come down from it, and I think you'll have better luck. But at least we'll say 40 feet, and you should be about 62.5 feet long or so. And but just look in the book, and you'll need twice that much, I think, on a good dipole. Jerry, you go ahead and call me.
We've listened since the 70s, and a lot of the radios do use, you can use a long wire with them, but back in the old days, they had a place you could stick the long wire in that was insulated. But I found over the years it's better off to isolate them, you know, especially if you're going out of a metal building into the antenna to isolate it, use coax. And to me, that says, like what Tom's talking about, or maybe, so you don't really have to have most of the infeds are tuned, but you don't necessarily have to have a tuned infed. You can run a small diameter coax out the building, even RG-58, to isolate that metal building away from it, and you should do better. But 75 feet antenna ought to hear a lot. But the problem is, there's just not a lot on shortwave anymore. Most of the big broadcasters run, you know, 250,000 watts, and the guys that really get the good DS, of course, you know, this is not the time for you to be doing shortwave listening. The winter time is the best time. It's quiet, especially on 40 meters around that area, 6 to 7 megahertz. It's just not really that great this time of year. Here is a major ones like Cuba and other places, but you know, getting on over in the winter months, you'll do a lot better. But they're probably, you know, there are a couple dozen stations you can hear, but you just have to, if you've got a, you know, just get online, get the schedules, and make sure they're updated and see what they are. But I'd isolate that antenna. If I was going to use a wire antenna, I'd isolate some out of it, use an end pad, or, of course, at Beverly, like Tom has, is, that's the way to go if you want to be able to hear something.